Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
I will not let this republic be split in two. My negotiations will not fail.
If they do, there aren't enough Jedi to protect the republic. We're keepers of the peace, not soldiers.
You know I don't like it when you do that.
Sorry, Master. I forgot you don't like flying.
Well, you've lost him.
If you'll excuse me.
I hate it when he does that.
Anakin, don't do anything without first consulting either myself or the Council.
You don't need guidance, Anakin. I see you becoming the greatest of all Jedi.
The boy has exceptional skills.
His abilities have made him arrogant.
Excuse me. I'm in charge of security here, m'lady.
They are using a bounty hunter named Jango Fett to create a clone army.
Wait.
We must stop them before they're ready.
Your clones are very impressive.
They'll do their job well.
Blast, that's why I hate flying.
This is a crisis. The Senate must vote the Chancellor emergency powers.
As my first act, I will create a grand army of the Republic to counter the increasing threats of the separatists.
Hasn't been a full-scale war since the formation of the Republic.
You must join me, Obi-Wan, and together we will destroy the Sith.
The dark side clouds everything. In grave danger, you are. Gun this Clone War has.
Hello and welcome to a galaxy far, far away for another Star Wars special. This week we'll be walking, talking, hawking, Stephen, moaning, stalking and porking as we try and figure out just who is plotting to bring war to a boring, peaceful, badly acted galaxy. Yes, it's Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones, and joining me to hate sand and everything it stands for is Tom Crowley.
Curse you, sand! Hello, John Rain!
Hello, Tom.
Hate sand, love rain. That's the Tom Crowley policy.
I love that. You might wonder why I included Stephen Hawking in the intro. It's because there's lots of space. There's lots of looking at stars and stuff, and he loved all that.
I mean, that's one of the most tenuous things you've ever said in your life, John, I think, that I've heard.
He loved space. That was on his tombstone.
He bloody loved space.
Yeah.
I want that on my tombstone, actually. I think that's factually accurate.
Yeah, he was also in the embarrassing Galaxy song that Eric Idle and Brian Cox brought back for their show.
Oh, God, right. Oh, man.
All of this is not true. he said.
So what, the remember that you're standing on a planet? Yeah. Well, I like that in Meaning of Life, but you know, I don't know if I want to hear Stephen Hawking get.
Although he would have fit in the fridge. yes.
Who wants Hawking Pops?
he's a fairground Hawking.
Oh, like a carnival hawker.
Throw balls at coconuts.
Like you see those signs on sort of residential doors, don't you? No circulars, no Hawkings.
No Stephen Hawkings, yeah.
And Stephen Hawking wheeling away looking sad about that.
Oh. Hey, poor fella. Enough of Stephen Hawking.
Anyway.
Yeah, so Star Wars.
So we're talking
episode
about
two.
Star Wars. Mm. Yes. It's wonderful to be back. I was speaking to somebody, a friend recently, and I said, I've become the de facto Star Wars correspondent on SmirshPod. And they said something I didn't expect them to say, which was, I'm jealous.
Oh.
So there you go. It's an in-demand position.
Was
and
that
I will
George
not let
Lucas?
It go. It was. I'm jealous of that, because I keep asking John if I can take part, and he says, no, your contribution wouldn't be helpful.
No. I prefer his coughing brother, George Mucus.
Oh, Gorge Mucus, his Gorge third brother, who eats mucus. Gorge, it's disgusting.
Gorge Mucus sounds like a Star Wars character, though.
I'm the most normal of my brothers, it must be said. And I created a weird, messed up alien universe.
He'd be friends with Dexter Jetster.
Dexter Jetster, or Dexter Fletcher.
Dexter Fletcher, from the Games Master oil rig.
That's right.
Yeah.
And was he the first, second, third, or which Games Master host was he?
I think he was the second.
Okay. Was there another one, or am I making it up, apart from the new one?
There was Dominic Diamond.
Yeah, of course there was Dominic Diamond. Of course there was.
People thought Dominic Diamond was forever. Oh, no, he left after a few series.
Oh, how dare he?
Yeah, I know.
I'm heartbroken by that. At least we had Dexter Fletcher from Press Gang to step in. Exactly. And then after him, Dexter Jetster came in and said, okay, let's play some goddamn video games.
I think we should keep our Jetster powder dry because we
okay,
need to talk
yeah,
about
there's
it
still, there's still time to bring Jetster into it.
I'm waiting for his Star Wars spin-off, though, I've got to be honest.
Oh, Matt Jetster on Disney Plus. Yes, please.
Yeah.
It would Guillermo be like Cheers. Toro. I'd love that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Making your way in the galaxy far away takes everything you got. It works really well so far.
There's
I'm not
someone
sing
on
a
the phone
line.
For a Dexter Jetster. That's your name, coach.
Oh, yeah.
we're in. What year was this? 2000.
Was it 2002? Was it?
2002.
No, 3. Hang on, I'm going to use the secret galactic personal data assistant. 2002. There we go. Beep, 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 beep.
I remember this period well because I just split up with a long-term girlfriend and my brother took sympathy on me and said, I'll take you to the cinema. You like that?
Yep.
He took me to see this.
I don't like where this is going.
I was very sad. And then the week after, he took me to see Matrix Reloaded.
Oh.
I was very sad. And then he took me to see Die Another Day. That's very sad.
2002, the golden age of cinema, they call it.
Oh, my God. That whole period's so embarrassing, isn't it?
My context for this is that how old would I have been? I was 14 years old, right? Mm. Which is, in many ways, I think I said when we started watching Phantom Menace that I kind of was at the perfect age each time to sort of temporarily believe that each prequel was good. Yeah. And then by the time the next prequel came along, I was going, that was bad, wasn't it?
Mm.
But I think at 14, my love of Star Wars and my sort of all-consuming crush on Natalie Portman were at exactly the right stage for me to genuinely convince myself that this was a good film.
Yeah.
And my feelings have changed since then, I will say. Still think Natalie Portman's a very beautiful woman.
Oh,
but,
yeah. For a long time, I thought this was the worst Star Wars film.
I don't know. I might still think it is. I haven't seen Revenge of the Sith since it was in cinemas, so I'm intrigued about that.
I don't know. I think at least it's telling a story, whereas I think Rise of Skywalker...
Oh, yeah, Rise of Skywalker does put up a fight, doesn't
it's just
it? In terms of...
It's like the thing that comes out of the other pod and the fly that's just this big mess.
Yeah. It's a horrible Brundle mutation.
Yeah, whereas this... I mean, it's bad, and it looks fucking...
It looks
just...
so terrible now, doesn't it?
But at least it's... coherent in places.
It knows what story it wants to be telling. It just lacks the ability to tell it, I would say, is my review. But anyway, yeah, so going back to it now, my feelings have changed and my love of Star Wars has a bit more distance to it. And I'm a bit more able to be empirical. Whereas then I think there was that feeling of, oh, there's Star Wars on, I have to like it, otherwise I'm denying the the joy of knowing that there's Star Wars out there.
Yes, yeah.
So whether it's good or not, he's like, it is good. It's brilliant Star Wars. Hmm. And we've had enough Star Wars. Enough Star Wars has passed under the bridge since then that I think, yeah, I can have a bit more empirical judgment of it than when I was 14 years old.
Yeah, and I think the sequel trilogy has finally extinguished the flame I've been holding for Star Wars since I was about 4 years old.
Yeah, just wet the ends of the fingertips and...
Yeah, and now I don't care about it anymore.
Mm.
Or maybe that's fair. I think also...
Possibly. I also think that it's more just franchise fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I find... I mean, the last Marvel film I went to see when it was in the cinemas new was Doctor Strange. And and I quite liked that. Mm. I thought there were nice things in it. It's not brilliant. I think the writing of the character Doctor Strange is rubbish. But, I think there were certainly like visually really cool things about it, and I liked the ending. But even by then, it was like, oh god, another bloody Marvel film.
Yeah.
And I can't be arsed with it. It's just like increasingly, when if it's like, oh, there's new Star Wars, you just go, great. It must be a day of the week.
Yeah, I mean, I did. I say that. I did betray my feelings by watching Ahsoka because I thought it looked quite fun.
Yeah. Oh, I think, obviously it's fine. It's just I watched a bit of The Mandalorian, thought that was very good.
Mm.
And it's harder to get excited about these things because it's like when, if you're a little overindulged child and, you only get to have ice cream once a month, let's say it's a special treat or whatever, and you go, and you're suddenly mum and dad say, you know what, you can have ice cream today, and you go, oh yes, ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're a little sort of horrible Richie Rich brat who can just have the full Pizza Hut ice cream factory after dinner every single night, you go, who cares, it's just my normal ice cream. It sucks. I want to get into heroin.
Yeah.
And it's like that. You're overindulged with Star Trek. You've got a big Star Wars, rather. It's the first time I've ever made that mistake in my life. And we're overindulged with Star Trek, too. But you have the big science fiction pipe just pointed at your mouth, and they open the sluice, and it hasn't closed in about 10 years, and you can just get sick of things.
We've all become cultural creosotes.
We have. Mm. We have. And we're all about to burst.
Yeah. And
the wafer thin mint of Disney Plus having ads on it.
And that's the fandom is when he's vomiting into that bucket.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the bile.
Right. Yeah, and still thinking it's
not
good.
My Star Wars.
Yeah, that's the visual metaphor for online petitions saying we need to remake The Last Jedi.
But 10 years after the Battle of Naboo, the Galactic Republic is threatened by a separative movement organized by Dooku.
Count Dooku. Count Dooku. That's right.
I want him to do that.
Nigel Farage and his galactic separatists are lobbying for Britain to leave the Republic.
Yeah.
Those Neomoidians have had it good for too long, and I can't smoke my death sticks inside the spaceship anymore.
I like the way that Dooku has managed to scour the galaxy to bring in men who look like they're from a PlayStation 1 game.
Yeah. It's quite a absolutely. Skill. It's quite something, isn't it?
He's also got the techno army.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, they come in later, don't they? There's he's got a little council of PlayStation characters.
He has.
They all look like, do you know, if you had like a space strategy game or something in about 1999, you'd have pre-rendered characters as well as little pixel isometric characters who played your little units.
Yeah.
There'd be somebody phoning in and saying, "We're under attack in the South Quarter." Mm. They all look like that.
Yes, they do. The one you're missing, though, is Tim Curry saying,
Space! Yeah, if he turned up, it would be the best film ever made.
Oh, I'm surprised Tim Curry wasn't in a Star Wars.
I was thinking the other day, I can't believe Tim Curry never played Doctor Who.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, unrelated.
He went to America and got fat. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's the trouble. You could have a fat Doctor Who.
Names. You could have a fat Doctor Who. It's just that he needs to be in England.
Oh.
Mm.
That's true. Rocky Horror did for Curry Who, and I'll never forgive it.
Yeah, he should have got together with Ian Chips and done a remake of Curry and Chips.
If only, imagine with his sort of ivory Laurence Olivier makeup. Splendid. Right, anyway, moving on from that.
So, Padme
is
coming to Coruscant in a big shiny ship.
Oh, I will say there's a sort of sudden drop-off as well, because... Mm. Straight away I went, oh, maybe this actually looks all right now looking back.
Yeah.
Because John's getting pissed because we started talking about the film.
A fizzy drink.
No, that's all right. And, the beer is a fizzy drink, isn't it?
Mm.
As is meat vodka.
Mm.
Yeah, so I thought, oh, maybe this will be better than I remembered, because the first shot of that shiny ship arriving and then the sort of surface of Coruscant, all that stuff still looks really good. Mm. And then the ship explodes and it looks rubbish instantly.
It's fucking awful.
Sudden drop off, like straight down.
I'd love it if when the ship, because they land and the leader of her security team turns to a woman who's obviously Padme in disguise.
Yes.
And says, I guess I was wrong. There was no danger at all. Yeah. And just as the ship explodes, I want a trombone to fly out going...
Although the benefit of the explosion is it makes Corday, Padme's security double, look just like Kate Bush.
Yeah.
So,
pretty good. She does.
Padme, it's me, your Corday. I've come home. I'm so cold. She sings as she's cradled by Padme.
Says, wow. Wow. Anyway, she says, I failed you. And I'm like, I'd say to her, no, you precisely did your job.
You did exactly your job, yeah.
I hired you to be my decoy. What did you call them?
Security double. It's just a phrase I made up, John. I'm not, I'd have no
knowledge. I
thought
you had an official name for it.
I'm not Wikipedia.
No, you look like Wikipedia.
How dare you?
I just mean you're very wise.
I am. I am that, yes.
So she's dead.
She's dead.
Yeah. So then...
We hardly knew you, Corday.
Exactly, yeah. Corday.
A woman of infinite jest and mirth.
I guess it wasn't your Corday, I'd say to her, she died.
She does that... They're all called like Corday and Band-Day and Philiday and stuff, so she must use that on every single one that gets nixed when she's travelling with them.
Band-Day, of course, did Feed the World. Do they know it's
Feed the World? I didn't know Kate Bush was in Band-Day. Oh, you learn something new every day.
You have to pull the Band-Aid off quickly, otherwise.
Rip off the Band-Aid.
Yeah.
We can't do jokes about a name I invented for a joke. We have to do real ones.
I really wanted to.
Look, I'll accept it isn't your Corday, but others, they're not relevant.
No. So Palpatine, meanwhile, Senator Palpatine.
Yes.
He's doing what everyone does in this film. He's sitting down and talking.
Yep, that's right.
Yoda is now fully CG.
Completely CG, and it looks quite bad. One of the better-looking characters, maybe, but there's a strange thing where it feels like they've turned the gamma up too high on a bunch of the CGI characters. Like, the lighting is... There's clearly, like, rendered lighting, but it's as though they've put them slightly too far forward in the project. Do you know what I mean?
Like, Yoda feels like you could reach in and sort of dip your hand in the pool of his body. He looks so 2D.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, you could... Mm. Yeah, you sort of push through him like a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Palpatine says, who do you think's behind all this? And he goes, difficult to say. The dark side clouds everything. I'm like, you're sitting opposite a Sith and you can't even fucking detect it, you useless little frog cunt.
That's right, he's so close. He should be like stinking an aura of you frog cunt. You little paper thin frog cunt.
He should have like a headache because he sat literally opposite a burning fire of Sith, but he's like,
that's
I don't know.
He at least should sort of like wee himself slightly and go, I don't know why I'm doing that.
Yeah.
There must be something wrong in this room.
Just useless. Absolutely
really,
useless.
All the Jedi are fucking... All right, okay. I know we should go through this chronologically, but I do think there's a big... My main two problems with this film now are the centre of it is a love story that is supposed to define not just these three films, but also the entire history of Star Wars.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And it's terrible.
Uh-huh.
And the second problem with it is I don't understand who's allied with who, what is meant to be bad form for these people to be doing, and what is good.
Mm.
At the start, it's the crawl says that they're basically already at war, right?
Yes.
With separatists. Uh-huh. And then it's all like, everything's basically... So the Jedi Counselor who's from Revenge of the Coneheads, he says Count Dooku is a political rival, but the crawl says they're already basically in open conflict, so I don't understand what the status quo is.
No.
What's good, what's bad, who's good... Who's bad? Who's like a bit dodgy, but they're okay, really? None of it's made clear.
Well, also,
the storytelling is so unclear.
Yeah, and also in the last film, Qui-Gon Jinn says that we're just Jedis, we're not peacekeepers.
Yeah, and in this, they definitely are.
They
like
definitely
UN
are.
Shock troops, yeah.
He says that, well, Yoda says, I think we should put Padme under the protection of the Jedi.
Yeah, the Jedi peacekeepers, you might as well have said.
Yeah, and Jimmy Smits goes, I'm not sure about that. I was in LA law.
I like Jimmy Smits in this, and I think he's one of the people who I've got a few sort of gold stars to award during the course of this film for like doing their very best in a tough position. And Bail Organa gets one of them just because he doesn't really have anything to do.
No.
But you look at him and you go, I believe that you are a Star Wars like upper crust official.
Yes.
The look of him and his sort of just his aspect, his stage presence, like you go, yeah, absolutely, well done, good choice.
Also, he's an actual human being and not CG.
That really helps, especially in this movie, yeah.
Yeah. So Palpatine says, you know what? Obi-Wan Kenobi would be perfect to look after Padme.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, yeah, you're right. He's a nice fella. So we cut to Obi-Wan and his Anakin in a lift, and a clear reshoot because Ewan McGregor's wearing the worst wig and fake beard I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, man. I mean, he looked so strange in multiple scenes. I wouldn't be able to pick out when
There's
it was
a lot
or
of
wasn't.
Weird beard reshoots going on.
Oh, weirdy beardy. Obi-Wan Kenobi, they call him. And there he is standing next to a massive, great big slab of Canadian bacon.
Yeah.
Hayden Christensen, episode 2's Jar Jar.
I feel sorry for him, though, because...
I know.
The script doesn't help. I think he does all right.
I don't know that I would agree with that, but I do think... I think that for both him and Natalie Portman, the script is like a it's like they've been made to do the scene riding a mechanical bull that is named the script every single time they turn up on screen. Every character, in fact.
Mm.
It's like, it's absolutely... I don't envy them in the slightest. I think Christensen is... He's really badly chosen for a bunch of reasons. I don't think he's necessarily a bad actor at all. I've not seen him in anything else. So I would hate to condemn him just for this. But he just so isn't right for this at all. Like, I don't know what made them go, yeah, that guy. But I think the casting director should have been fired.
Yeah. I've seen him in a film called Shattered Glass where he was very good.
Yeah, that is that what made him famous as well?
Because no, that I feel was like, after this, I think. I think this was his big break.
Right, so after that, that was his... I remembered it either as being his sort of redemption, Shattered Glass, or it being his... like, that's what got him this part, basically.
No, I think that was the one where everyone pointed at it and gone, see, he's a good actor.
See, he's all right, yeah. Well, in that case, you know, very happy to forgive him. And also, you know, actors can always grow and evolve and they also get on better with some material than others. But
he's still playing Anakin, though, so I mean, perhaps not.
Yeah, he's fucking... he has a terrible time in this film, that's what I would say.
Mm. But I think possibly it's because they're just not really directed, are they?
Well, yeah, wasn't it Mark Hamill, forgive me if I've brought this quote up on this show before, but I think Mark Hamill at one point said, if George Lucas could direct a movie without actors, he would do it.
Yeah.
Which does make you think, could he have been an animation director? He probably would have been happier.
He'd probably be much happier. He'd sat down all day.
Yeah. I love playing with my little computer toys. This man's got a very large, tall head and insect wings on his eyes, and his mouth is in his butt. And here he is saying, hey, the Galactic Senate has imposed trade sanctions. He'd be so happy, like a pig in Dodo.
Yeah, in Banta Pudu.
Yeah, in Banta Pudu. That's right.
But I think if he'd have done something like Toy Story, it would have been a very different film because it would have just been all these characters sat around talking.
That's right. Tom Hanks' famously energetic performance as Woody is just like Bridge of Spies or something. Just very, very low key.
Not low key.
Not low-key. That would be more energetic, I think.
We meet Jar Jar again, who is now Sir not appearing in this film.
Sir not appearing in this film.
Yeah.
That's right. Rose Tico in Rise of Skywalker.
Yes.
Pushed into the corner.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Very much so.
I did think there was a moment when Anakin is kind of watching Padme through a doorway and she's having a sort of a quite close chat with Jar Jar.
Yeah.
And it had the vibe of somebody kind of who fancies a girl watching her... interacting with her inadequate current boyfriend.
Yes.
And it made me think, have Jar Jar and Padme been knocking boots in
there? Yes, they have.
I think they probably have. That's my fan.
Me's a horny Padme.
Me's a horny.
Me love you long time.
Me have three penises.
Oh, I bet he's fucking, I bet he's hung.
Yeah. In three different places on his body. He's got one coming out of his back.
Yeah.
He's got one tucked in the groin area.
When he comes, he's like a sprinkler.
Oh.
Just spinning around. Or one of those things you get outside a car dealership.
Yeah, at the same time. If you stuck a sprinkler up one of those car dealership dancing dolls,
yeah,
that's what it would look like.
Oh.
What an image. Oh, and we've only just got to Coruscant.
Padme says, Anakin, you've grown, and he should go, I fucking sure I have,
that's
baby.
That's right, you know what I mean? Baby.
And he says, you've grown more. Beautiful, yep. That is. And it's played like such a sort of jock rapist. His whole performance in this is a jock rapist.
That's how he feels the entire time. And it's really like, and again, I think it's a kind of wrongly chosen for this guy. Because there's points later when he does a sort of cheeky smile after he's sort of made her slightly, you know, go bristle at something he said. And he smiles like he's basically like grooming her.
Yeah.
Like he's gaslighting her or something. And it's this sort of evil grin.
Yeah.
And you go like, no, man, absolutely not. No, let's not. No. Let's not do that face.
So he then gets all cheeky with Obi-Wan, doesn't he?
Well, he's constantly getting all cheeky with bloody Obi-Wan.
Yeah, Obi-Wan's like, well, we're here. We're not going to investigate. We're just here to look after you. And he's like, why? Because you'll know your place, young one. Why? Yeah, step outside. Could you mind stepping outside for a minute? Shut the fuck up. You're making us look like cunts.
Don't you undermine me in front of the royalty, okay? Yeah, he could have used a bit more of that, I think, Anakin. Obi-Wan were a bit harsher of a taskmaster, I think maybe Anakin would have flown right, you know, and the Darth Vader whole thing wouldn't have happened.
He just weren't ready, was he? Oh, Qui-Gon, stupid Qui-Gon. It's all his fault.
I would say I think Obi-Wan graduates pretty effortlessly up into the Qui-Gon Jinn sanctimonious but an idiot role.
Yeah.
He's not as stupid, like, detectably as Qui-Gon Jinn was, but he's, you know... The cool thing... Well, we'll get there in a second, but he does a cool thing that I enjoyed. Hmm. It's very soon afterwards undermined completely, but, you know, anyway, we'll get there.
Did you watch the Obi-Wan TV series?
I didn't. We've talked about this before. I didn't. Yeah, and you said it was mainly him looking sad.
Yeah.
And I said that and you agreed with me.
I agreed with you. And then Qui-Gon appears at the end as a Force ghost.
Yeah, oh, nice.
And he goes, all right. And he goes, yep. And then he goes, okay. And that's the end.
So,
hooray.
All right, the end. I listened back to our Phantom Menace chat, John, and good God, what a rambunctious and wonderful time with two lovely friends. Oh, Smirchpod, 5 stars.
Yeah.
And we talked about what would you expect the next film to be like by the end of Phantom Menace. And something I said then, which I hadn't thought about before or since, was, oh, what an interesting dynamic, these two missing this kind of father figure that they both had for a time that were important to them, and now he's gone. And I would say you feel the presence of that looming kind of loss not at all in this film.
No.
Yeah.
But they did fall into a nest of Gundarks.
Yes, they most certainly did.
And pushed me in there.
What a rambunctious good time with a lovely pair of friends.
I think that's what happened. I think they finished the film and then Lucas was like, we haven't got any scene establishing that these two like each other.
Yeah, so no, that's right. If that was a reshoot, you do go, well, you mean there was just nothing there before? That seems ridiculous.
Yeah, so that was the reshoot, and it's just fucking dreadful.
Yeah, it's rubbish, yeah. I mean, I would say it's one of the more natural scenes between these two, or between any two characters in this film, but that's quite a low bar.
Very low bar.
Yeah.
Fucking limbo.
Yeah, it's like... I would have liked it more if they'd limboed out. Like, the lift opened too high, and so there was only a small gap for them to clear, and they had to limbo out of the elevator.
That'd be amazing.
To chat to Amidala. Speaking of which, has Amidala had a jerry curl since we last saw her in time to meet Anakin?
Yeah, it looks like it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Doesn't suit her.
Again, I mean, they're not as... it's not as forceful as it was in the last film, because in the last film, every scene, they dressed them all ridiculously, didn't they? But in this one, they've just got her with different haircuts.
Yeah, essentially. There's a couple of... I'm a big fan of her sort of Jurassic Park lizard gold faceplate, which comes up later, but we'll get to that.
Meanwhile, a bounty hunter called Jango Fett.
Jango Fett.
Has hired someone called Zam Wessel.
That's right.
To kill Padme with worms.
Worms! Mm. Jango Fett, I really like calling... All the spoilers, I think all the clone stuff is incredibly boring.
Yeah, really boring. Yeah.
Really, really boring, and a bad decision to do it. But I like the name Jango Fett for Boba Fett's father. Mm. I don't think he should have the same helmet.
No.
Obviously, I can see why you want him to, because it's, you know, a bit of fan service there, like going, oh, it's like, look, it's Boba Fett's dad. He's got the same look. Mm. But at the same time, I don't know, it would be more fun if he was just a really great bounty hunter, but he didn't have the old Mandalorian helmet or whatever, I think.
No.
Yeah. Especially, and the other thing I like about Django Fett is that he's played by Temuera Morrison from New Zealand, so it sounds like he's played by Sergeant Marker from Wellington Paranormal. Mm-hmm. And he's the Queen appears to have used what's known as a decoy. That's a person who looks uncannily like another person, enough to fool even a seasoned professional in the bounty hunting industry like myself. And pretending to input a key code in a keypad that doesn't exist on his bounty hunting spaceship. Beep, beep, beep. Beep. Admission granted. Oh, thank you. I'd like that version a lot more.
I don't like any of the clone stuff. Like, even the fact that it's Jango Fett's, you know,
it's bad, yeah.
And then they all have his voice and look like him. I found that really annoying.
It's all quite naff. I was going to say this later on, but I remember at school, obviously we all saw this and we're excited about it. We're all young enough to be like, yeah, brilliant. Most of the prevailing wind among the students was like, oh yeah, great, brilliant. And we had a teacher who was someone we liked because he would sort of admit to liking things like Star Wars, you know, yeah. Someone who's a bit cooler. And he said it was rubbish and that there was no point in making any of these prequel films. And we were scandalized.
Yeah.
And someone said, oh, but there's all these things that you've only heard about before that you can see now. Mm. And he said, yeah, like the Clone Wars. And now you found out that they are wars that involve some clones. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I was absolutely scandalized by that comment. And now I can see he's completely right.
Completely
it's
right.
It's so boring.
It's like the Prometheus thing.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. Who cares?
You thought it was going to be a fun elephant alien, and it's just a bald man wearing an elephant head.
Little bald guy.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, rubbish.
So the worm bounty, and again, I think Django is paying people, you know, paying people, Peter.
To pay the
Paul,
piper.
Paul.
Yeah.
Because he could have just done it himself, put some worms in it. Because she gets the money off Django, gets the worms.
I've got a worm firing rifle. You load the worms in here and then you fire it at the window. And with enough acceleration force, it should pierce the window and assassinate the state official. Sorry, I'm just back in Wellington Paranormal again.
Sure.
Although it does appear to be a droid that has the sole purpose of cutting a hole in a window big enough for a worm and then farting a worm out into it. How much do those cost, do you think, in Star Wars Land?
They're a lot of money.
He must use them a lot. He has to, like... And wait, do you go to the tackle shop to reload the worms?
That's right. Be careful, they're very poisonous.
Hey, be careful, they're very poisonous.
Oh, thank you very much, Dexter Fletcher. Nice to see you.
Depends how big your cup of pocketbook is.
Yeah, because if I was Django, I'd go, well, you just put it in that. I could have done that. I'd give you my money back.
Yeah, that's right. Why am I subcontracting?
You're a face-changing creature. You could have walked in there looking like Amidala.
Yeah.
Walked in her room and killed her. But instead, you've put things in a robot and stood miles away with a gun.
Yeah, that's right.
That's my thing.
I like the big gun, but that's, you know, that comes up later. Now, this is about where Obi-Wan does the coolest thing he does.
Oh, yeah, the window jump.
He jumps straight through the window. I love that. Because, again, that sort of, there are bits in this film where you occasionally get a slight glimmer of like, there could have been a good version of this.
With a good action director, that could have been a really exciting scene. But
yeah, and the actual, like, him, you know, being flown around on the droid isn't very good. But
no.
I just like that. I also sort of, there's also the suggestion that he's saying, you're very reckless, Anakin, and you should be level-headed like me. And then the second there's any trouble, he leaps out of the window over an infinite drop. And you go, oh, if that became a bit more of a dynamic, like he's way worse than Anakin actually. Mm. And that was acknowledged in some way or played into, that would be great. But as it is, it just makes him feel like a mad hypocrite.
Yeah. So there's a chase through Coruscant with Anakin in a flying car.
Yes.
Which is supposed to be exciting, but it's very tedious.
Very, very tedious. And again, Hayden Christensen, not the right choice for this film, because you see him clearly on the green screen stage behind the wheel of this car, and his face is just absolutely dead. And it's almost like you can hear him going, yeah, zoom, zoom, and whatever. Yeah,
beep, beep, out beep. The way.
I'm in my Obi-Wan's car. Vroom, vroom.
But I like
Get
the
out
line,
of my car, Anakin.
I like the line, if you spent as much time practicing your saber techniques as you do your wit, you would rival Master Yoda as a swordsman.
Yeah, that's right.
What wit? What are we talking about here?
I don't know. line, you know, lines like, I thought you didn't like flying, Master.
Mm.
Things like that.
I couldn't find one that had the nice colour.
I couldn't find a speeder car that was good enough to drive it.
Did you like the bit where they drove through the force field and Obi-Wan turns into Rabsy Nesbitt?
Yeah, I did.
He goes,
That's Ewan McGregor's true self coming out.
Yeah.
There's more Rab in there than he would like to admit, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know why that was in there, and I also don't know, because I thought, oh, power couplings, that'll come back, right? Mm. Does it come back? I know they blow up some power somethings at the end in the big warship, but I don't know if that was supposed to be a call forward to that or what, but I think it must have been some of that classic Star Wars humour.
So you're saying these are Chekhov's power couplings?
Chekhov's power couplings. I keep telling you, how often do I have to tell you not to fly so close to the power couplings? How often does it come up, Obi-Wan?
Never.
Never? How often Never. Does this happen?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
So they land in that market thing and they go in the bar and then we get the,
wanna buy a death stick?
Death sticks. Eben Sleaze Bagano.
That's his name, isn't it?
Yeah.
Eben Sleaze Bagano. Yeah.
Sleaze Bagano. And now I absolutely Mandela affected myself into believing that this character was played by Giovanni Ribisi.
Oh, I had it as Seth Green in my head, so we both
Oh, really?
Done that.
Well, both very similar in the same... Well, we have to apologise to Seth and Giovanni, so very, very sorry.
Giovanni would be pleased with the work, I'm sure.
Well, no, that's true. That's true. Is he an Avatar, or have I managed?
No, he is
an
Avatar. He's the baddie in Avatar. Yeah, he was after
he's the one who says
unobtainium.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, good.
And plays
just checking.
Golf.
He plays golf.
He plays golf in his office because that's like shorthand for saying that someone's a disgusting corporate pig.
Oh, I thought it was like he was kooky. No, you're right. That is like they've got the little a bit of a patch of golfing green.
Yeah,
and a little and you practice your golf swing.
You need to go home and rethink your life.
I will go home and rethink my life.
What if he fucking killed himself? Blood on your hands.
He got home and really realised what he'd been doing all this time. Overdosed. He overdosed on death sticks. How many did he take? Two death sticks.
Two death sticks. I mean, they shouldn't be called death sticks.
They should be called death sticks.
If you were a marketing department for Death Sticks, Inc., you'd be like, I think we need to call them something else.
Yeah, I think, Fun sticks.
Fun sticks.
Fun sticks. Have a fun stick. And then everyone might have been like, yeah, all right. And then he'd have been killed and the film would end.
I always imagine, because the production design from The Fifth Element often occurs to me with future stuff.
Yeah.
I always imagine they're the cigarettes from The Fifth Element where it's like 75% filter and a little bit of white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched Fifth Element. We should probably save this up because we ought to do Fifth Element at some point in the future. But what I will say is, as a teaser for that future episode coming in 2026, once we finished every single Star Wars product is I really liked it.
I loved Fifth Element.
Yeah. I've heard so many people slag it off as being this incredible, but you watch it, and especially when you then compare it to something like Phantom Menace or Attack of the Clones, you go, it's like fucking Shakespeare.
Yeah.
By comparison. And the world design is so much more interesting. And, and stuff like that, the sort of maxi filter cigarettes, like that, that feels so much more thought through as a world than this.
Yeah. Yeah.
But here we've got Death Sticks. Death Sticks. Thanks, George. You're welcome. Jedi's love to go straight for the arm chop, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. There's also cameos in this scene.
You cut off my fuck stick.
You need to go home and think about your fuck stick.
I am. It's been chopped off and I'm bleeding everywhere.
Sleaze Bagano.
He never had a chance, did he?
No, he didn't.
That's nominative determinism.
It is. So there's cameos here. So you've got Anthony Daniels as a patron.
Oh, is he? I didn't spot him.
You've got the guy who plays Jar Jar Binks.
Armored Best, yeah.
Yeah, and you've got, I think, NSYNC. Are they in there? Yeah, I think so.
Brilliant.
But yeah, he cuts off the bounty hunter's hand.
That's right, the classic Jedi move.
And
we're very moral. We wouldn't kill anyone. We just mutilate them for life.
Fucking mutilate them. Like, remember, years later he cut off bum face's chin.
Yeah, bum mouth.
Yeah,
anus mouth. Anus. I think his name is Anus Mouth.
Yeah.
In Star Wars.
I wanted in 28 systems for being an anus.
And then the guy next to him says, we should probably save this for A New Hope.
Yeah, save for New
Hope. The guy next to him says, my friend doesn't like you.
Yeah.
And Luke turns to him and says, oh, is that true? And then he just goes,
is that what he says?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's got an anus for a mouth. That's very offensive. Take it back.
You're welcome.
And then I look forward to Disney Plus 2027. The Star Wars story.
You open Disney Plus and go, what's this? PFFFRT? A star? What the hell? Is that bum mouth from A New Hope?
Is that Tom Hardy playing him?
Yeah.
Because he'd have the mouth covered.
I was raised in the... You've merely adopted it.
Anyway, the bounty hunter's like, oh, I can't tell you who hired me because I don't know who it is.
If you did a poo out of that mouth, how would that be?
It would be very painful for you.
Yep, very good.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Money for old rope, that, innit?
Absolutely.
Anyway.
So she's about to tell him.
Yep.
I think it was someone. Dart in the neck.
I like that. Was a good bit of action direction. Yeah. Is the dart goes in, then you hear the echo of the gunshot after.
I mean, that's one thing you're always going to have with these films is excellent sound design.
Yeah, brilliant sound design and sort of, little production decisions like that. Very good.
Although I would say the production design in this is pretty bad.
There's there's a lot of not Star Wars-y stuff and a lot of pretty ropey character designs, it must be said.
So they're no clearer to who this mysterious bounty hunter is.
I feel like I just totally contradicted myself. I said... Or you. You said, you can usually get nice production design decisions like that. And I went, oh, yeah. And then you said, actually, there's some really bad production design in this. And I said, yeah.
No, I said sound design and then bad production design.
Yes, that's true. Mm. That's true. There was... No, okay. That's good to clarify that. Thanks, John.
No problem.
But I agree with you.
Yeah, good. So then the Jedi Council is like, well, you need to go and look into who this bounty hunter is.
I know who I'd like to look into who it is. Hmm. Who the fuck is the guy sitting behind Obi-Wan at the start of this scene with Cousin It hair all the way down itself?
Oh, yeah.
A mermaid tail poking out and, like, hideous Cthulhu claws, like, sticking out of the hair pile. And we never see another shot of that guy.
No.
I'm sure we don't. And he certainly doesn't turn up at the end for the massive fight in the, I don't know, you know, wobbling along on his mermaid tail with his hairy body. It's what, like... Was that one where they forgot to take that shot out? They ixnayed that character, left that one in. It's like seeing a ghost in the film. It's horrifying.
I'm sorry to tell you this, Tom, but he's disabled.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that's just a normal human character.
It's a normal human.
Oh, this is awkward.
It's actually the T-boy from the set.
Oh, no. Yeah. The script assistant got left in the shot.
His name was Mark Mermaid.
I've got Lovecraftiitis, yes. And so I've got scales and a horrible tail and claws sticking out.
And a wanger stinging out my forehead.
I've got three wangers like Jar Jar Binks, and when I come, it looks like someone stuck a hose up a car, sales pitch doll.
So then they say, well, Anakin, meanwhile, we want you to protect Padme. It's like, well, shouldn't you give that to a proper Jedi rather than a Padawan?
Also not one that's constantly staring at her like he wants to attack her.
Not one that keeps whispering, I want to come on your tits.
Yeah, from every one of my three penises. They never talk about this in Star Wars because, like, you know, these are technically humans, but they're not like Earth humans. They're from a galaxy far away.
They'd be humanoids, wouldn't they?
We don't know how many willies they've got and where they are.
Mm.
Humanoids, yeah, quite. They're humanoid type characters.
Yeah.
So they could have anything going on down there.
The Human League.
Anakin could have a fanny in the small of his back.
Could. I was working as a Jedi with Obi-Wan Kenobi when I met you. That's not true. He was a slave, wasn't he?
You got your finger, put it in the fanny on my back.
And made some goo. That's disgusting. Shouldn't they give that job to an actual Jedi? Give it to the little one-eyed dwarf from Phantom Menace.
Yeah. I liked him. He was great. I want to see him back.
He died of a heart attack, apparently. I looked into it.
Just after
the ceremony. In the first
shame.
Phantom Menace.
That's a real shame. I thought someone had come along and poked him in the other eye and he had to sort of be taken into care for the trauma.
He was like Donald Pleasance in The Great Escape. I can see the pin. I can see it perfectly. You're over there. Oh, sorry. So Padme leaves Jar Jar in charge. Jar Jar, wait here.
We just had a callback by mistake, because didn't we say that he got poked in the eye by Yaddle because he was spying on her changing?
Oh, yeah.
Yaddle got a Yoda cane and shoved it in his eye.
Nice. Splendid. Where's Yaddle? Did Yaddle die in the 10 years hence?
Yaddle sadly died.
Oh, R.I.P. Yaddle.
She was crushed by a large spaceship.
Pancake by a drunk dump truck driver.
I know, it's terrible. She was crossing the walkway in Coruscant, and one of those cars that flies through the air with seemingly no routes or restrictions or plan just flattened her, and it looked like a massive green pancake.
That stresses me out. I needed to say that earlier, but the whole Coruscant driving system is ridiculous.
The thing is, I think there's a sort of city planning problem where the driving is ridiculous and you can just fly around whatever. I mean, same in Fifth Element, but you almost feel like that's got some satire to it.
That's got structure and satire, yeah.
Yeah, and there's those little hovering like traffic signs and things. So there's
and
something.
McDonald's, yeah.
The other thing is, I think, and fair enough, I mean, we've talked about this with the Star Wars sequels as well, but there's a big thing. I think in Coruscant, they went for aesthetic instead of practicality.
Yeah.
So you've got all of these walkways hanging over infinite drops that seem to go on forever with no railings. Because, yes, it looks a lot cooler with no railings. But, you know, you've got to think not everybody is as able-bodied as everybody else. That you might, you know, you need to provide some sort of access for people like the little
Yaddle.
One-eyed dwarf. Yeah, or for Yaddle, indeed. Yeah. Who, you know, and Yoda uses a cane to walk around. So, you know.
No, we'll get there.
We'll get there.
Oh, I'm still angry about that. Anyway, so while Padme packs...
Yes.
Anakin talks kindly about Obi-Wan before then going from 1 to 100 miles an hour in seconds to talk about what a piece of shit he is.
I fucking hate him. He's holding me back. Yeah. That then carries on for the rest of this film in a few key moments.
He just seems deeply, deeply unhinged. I know that's supposed to be the point, but not. Yeah.
This is like The Shining in the sort of one thing that takes you out of it is that he's completely insane before the film starts.
Yes. I mean, if you were in if the Jedi Council were at all competent and not lazy fucking hippies,
they'd
be like,
"We
can't have that guy in here. He's fucking mental."
To be fair, they tried to until Qui-Gon Jinn basically forced their arms, then died, guilting them into accepting him.
But he's dead now. You know, just say it didn't work. You know, give him a job in the post room or something.
Obi-Wan really does seem like, certainly in this film, he seems like he'd be quite happy to just go like, "Yeah, fucking sack him. Can't stand the guy."
But they then set off for Naboo.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, Anakin decides to crack his best joke.
Yeah.
She goes, I'm a bit worried about everything, a bit stressful. And he goes, oh, don't worry, we have R2 with us.
Yeah.
Massive laughter.
It's not a bad joke, but it's that thing of, I mean, ultimately, I think it hints at one of the bigger problems with this film, which is that everybody speaks like they've been given dialogue to read by someone who's never met people or understood how they interact with each other or feel about things. Like it's been written by a sort of like a Morlock, like a cave creature that's never encountered a person.
Yes.
That's just lived on its own in a cave for its entire life.
Yeah.
That's who wrote the film.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
An extraterrestrial who's trying to blend in with human beings.
but that would explain all this imaginative, far-flung space adventure that this alien is able to conjure up so readily.
It's a documentary.
You've rumbled me. George, no! No! Put down the laser blaster.
Let's hear more from Gorge Mucus.
Gorge Mucus.
Love him. Talking of disgusting, yeah. Obi-Wan goes to see the absolute abomination that is Dexter Jetster.
Yeah, I agree with you. Or at least I did agree with you till I saw his little moustache. Now I like him again.
I also noticed that he's got... It's always made me a bit ill because it's like he's got this head unit with shells on it.
Yeah.
But from the back, it looks like he's got a flat cap on backwards.
Yes, it does. And also, he's got a very... His robes look odd, which I think is a lot of people have commented on that. Mm. But then when you see the reverse shot of him talking, his sort of goiter, what do you call it? Like his double chin,
yeah.
His comb moves really strangely and it sort of wibbles around at its own volition.
And I strongly suspect that if you were to lift that flat cap, he's got cornrows, I think.
Obi-Wan, I got an extensive catalogue of obscure pornography in the back. Do you want some?
I call it Jawa juice.
Yeah, and we all know what that is.
What is Jawa juice? Is that like a Jawa in a blender?
Oh, I was going to say it's jizz.
Oh, jizz.
But I think actually Jawa juice, it sounds like, I mean, as we now know, in Star Wars, every single person is just looking at every other creature in the galaxy and going, what if I milked that thing's titties and drank it?
You mean somewhere there's a Jawa with a big pair of milky titties?
Yeah, I think, well, they all do. We just never see them because they've got those diaphanous robes on them all
fruitini.
The time.
Oh, fruitini.
Fruitini?
Yeah.
Strawberry flavour.
Oh, jugtini more like.
I was on Tatooine, Obi-Wan, and Tatooine, I suckled a Jawa, and it was the tastiest shit I ever drank.
God.
You're my oldest and dearest friend, Dexter Jetster.
In fact,
I like the moustache.
Many people would think that I know you better than Anakin because we've had a conversation.
Yeah. When we speak to each other, even though you're a chicken lizard made out of computers, it's more natural than when I speak to Anakin. You're my best friend, like a surrogate father to
but
me.
But I'll never, ever, ever, ever see you ever again.
I will never. I'm going to have an entire series about me and my life after these films are over, and you're not even going to be mentioned or appear even slightly.
It'd be great if he's in the background just suckling on a Jawa.
And it's set on Tatooine, so it could be.
Just one more hit.
And just in the back. he's got like one of those milk extractors strapped to a Jawa. And there's like a huge keg way bigger than the Jawa, but it is filling up. And you just see him like wave in the background like, hey, Obi-Wan!
And everyone's like, yeah, hello. Just trying to avoid his gaze.
Blanks him slightly.
Fine. Yeah, good.
I told you I never wanted to see this bit happen.
How are you doing?
You're fine.
I'm fine. The Jawa looks distressed. It's shriveling up.
No, I've got to go. Where are you going? Just somewhere else.
Anywhere else, yeah.
Just a couple more gallons.
Okay, good.
That's tangy.
I can imagine Dexter doing that shot from The Last Jedi where Luke offers the green juice.
Yeah, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Jawa juice.
Freshly extruded from the nipple of a Jawa.
Under the robe, a Jawa is just one big nork, and we've just never seen it before.
All right, that makes more sense.
Yeah, makes sense out of Jawa juice anyway.
Yeah.
How do they flavour it?
I don't want to think about it. What are they called? The ones that have got arms for legs and legs for arms.
Yes, right. Okay.
A Sebulba. Dip a Sebulba in it, yeah.
Ugh. You know what I say to that?
What?
Ootini!
Just, you know, you could have Sebulba or a light Sebulb.
That's if the laser bit is the handle and
I was trying to say light bulb.
The blade is metal.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And then you grab it and your fingers will get chopped off.
But we find out that this dart that killed the bounty hunter
looks like it's from the cloners on Kamino to me.
Mm. I'd like to know more about Dexter Jets. I mean, he's already got a more interesting backstory than everybody else. How does he know that? How does he know about the cloners?
We have no idea.
What's he done? He's like a war hero or something.
I reckon he fought in the Bone Wars.
The Bone Wars?
Yeah.
Well, when everyone was boning each other.
Everyone was boning each other all the time. Right.
That's how Shmi became pregnant, we later find out, in the Bone Wars. She shoots Obi-Wan with a laser pistol. Oh, what happens now? What happens now?
So he says they're beyond the outer rim.
He'd know.
I'm Rim de Jawa. I don't want to know. Just tell me about this fucking dart. Jesus.
You've never rimmed anything until you've rimmed a Jawa, Obi-Wan.
I'm starting to think less of Obi-Wan for being friends with this guy.
I know. I think he's one of those things that he just needs information from, but just put up with these terrible perverse.
Yes, all right. Yes, lovely. Yeah. Christ. Well, let's move on.
Depending on the size
of so much
of
this boring film.
Pocket book.
Oh, yeah. He means knob, doesn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, the way he says it.
So Obi-Wan can't find trace of this planet.
No.
But he goes to see Yoda and the Younglings.
Mm-hmm.
At number one this week, Yoda and the Younglings.
Yep, that's
Yoda girlfriend in a coma.
Coma girlfriend is...
Mm-hmm. In is...
No eye, no eye.
Serious it is.
Yeah. Yoda teaching the younglings how to use their training lightsabers is like getting Jesus Christ to teach beginners swimming, I would say.
It's terrible. What a waste of his time.
Yeah, complete waste of his time. He's literally been given a much more important question by Obi-Wan, but he's like, I'm quite busy at the moment.
Yeah, busy teaching these fucking idiots.
These tiny, tiny children.
Stupid babies.
Some of which have horrifying computer faces.
They do.
They've held up incredibly badly.
Oh. Talking of which, this is the prequels, aren't they? I think they can't ever be in 4K.
Oh, really? Because they're digital?
Because they're such poor resolution.
Mm. I was going to say, we talked in the Phantom Menace episode about how that had the first ever scene shot on digital film.
That's right.
Marking quite an important moment in cinema history. And then this is the first ever film completely shot in digital.
Yeah.
And you can tell because it looks so bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's the last, because I think after this is the last one where they did a location shot, because I think in Revenge of the Sith, it's all green screen.
Yeah, because there's so little location in this even, and it is, you know.
They go to Italy and Tunisia, that's it.
Yeah, you know, fair enough. But then, yeah, as you say, I remember seeing, was it Mandalorian? They had that big dome screen that they shoot on, and I saw that, and I did just think, oh, great. So just all of it is going to look fake and rubbish. Is that the plan?
Yeah, I think that's it from now on.
Okay, great. Yeah. Great.
So he can't find it. Yoda goes, there's a space for the planet, gravity. What does that mean, younglings? And one of them goes, does it mean that they've been deleted from the archives, Master Yoda?
No, cunt.
Yeah,
yes, that's right, yes. No, you fuck, you idiot.
He backhands the kid, and then everyone, I think it does mean that, actually, Mark.
Yes, that's what I meant. Well done.
The kids have got little red patches on their face where he keeps slapping them.
Yeah, it's like with suspiciously three fingers. Who did this?
Mace Windu. Windu Mace it was.
Oh, you lying bastard.
The children are crazy. They're making things up.
Yeah.
Years later, there's a podcast documentary, the Yoda Factor.
Yoda Tree.
Yeah, Yoda Tree. Operation Yoda Tree.
In plain sight. Steve Coogan plays him.
Why do you think he gets banished to go and live on Dagobah?
Oh. Right.
Yeah. Getting a slipper off and, like, throwing it at kids' heads. Every bloody lesson.
I just like the idea of Yoda having slippers.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he does somewhere.
He doesn't. He wanders about in the fucking nude, didn't he, pretty much?
They're all sort of weird aesthetics, aren't they? So yeah. I suppose they just have their rough-hewn bantha wool robes that scratch them all the time. However, Obi-Wan is allowed to wear shoes, but Yoda is not, apparently.
Oh, it annoys me. But then Yoda says, dangerous and disturbing this puzzle is. Yes. I will meditate on this. It's all you fucking do.
It's all any of them do. Oh. Like, it's like... This is the trouble as well, is you've got all this kind of... Later on, I forget what it is, there's a bit where he says, oh, we'll interrogate this person. Oh, it's Jango, isn't it?
Yeah.
They tell Obi-Wan to get Jango back there. And I quite like the idea of the Jedi being the sort of peacekeeping force, or like some faction. You could also have an interesting thing where, like, being a Jedi is this more formless thing. It's not part of a centralised organisation, but the Jedi Council are a sort of self-appointed peacekeeping force or coppers or whatever, and you know, that maybe is slightly controversial in a way. Maybe it's like, yeah, you fascist, yeah, you baby killer,
bloody
Jedi Council, you weren't there, man. Yeah. And that would be interesting, but it's not in the film.
All Jedis are bastards.
Ajab.
Yeah. So Padme and Anakin go to Naboo, and she has a meeting with the new queen.
Yeah, now what's all this about, the queen being an elected position?
It doesn't make any sense.
And also there's a bit where, almost like a little wink to the audience, they go, oh, they changed the rules so I could have more than two terms. Mm. And it's also, and you just go, guys, not everywhere is America.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't, there's not term limits everywhere, they're not all the same. And I also think they made her a queen and then realised, oh, that would mean she'd have to stay on Naboo forever.
Mm.
Let's just change what queen means.
It's a different planet.
Rubbish.
Different. They do things differently there. But,
well,
we're back.
Why she called a queen and not a death klecht kek?
A kongrekek.
Kalamanakta.
Never mind all that, Tom.
Sorry.
C.O. Bibble's back.
Yeah. Yeah. Past the Duchess on the left-hand side.
That's it.
Can mean only one thing. Invasion.
But he doesn't do any of that in this one. He just panics.
Oh, fucking. Oh,
oh God.
The Senate. Oh, the Senate are bastards. I hate
them. I'm on a ragger tip. Oh.
There's a rat in my kitchen.
I don't know what to do.
And then Padme says, well, you could get a Jedi to go in and sense where it is and slice it up like I did with that worm.
Don't get me started on Jedis. All right, mate, turn it in. Right. Jesus Christ. Right. What do they keep you around for? I'm assuming he's an advisor. All he does is wet the bed.
He does, and he wets the bed all the time. But as she says, like, you could get the Jedi. He said, don't get me started on the Jedi. And he says, they am the dirty Babylon.
but the Queen says, I think we should keep our faith in democracy. So then Bibble says, what do you think?
A queen says,
yes.
We must keep... Sorry, I'm not getting over that, so carry on.
Fine. And then Bibble says, what do you think, Anakin? Oh, sorry, what do you think, Jedi?
Mm.
And he's about to say something, and Padme goes, actually, he's not a Jedi, he's an apprentice.
Mm.
And he's like, hang on a minute.
And she's
like, no, you hang on a minute, I'm trying to talk. And he goes, no, you hang on a minute. And then she's just like, stop embarrassing me.
And the queen sort of looks at them like, why is your dunderhead bodyguard mansplaining your own planet to you?
Exactly.
He's like the most unlikable character ever created, I think.
It's just appalling.
It's odd, isn't it? Because you go, yeah, he's going to become... He's supposed to have sort of this this tempestuous nature and this kind of like moral uncertainty at the core of him and all that.
Mm.
But it's so badly handled, and it just comes across as like, oh, he's just a prick. Like, you wouldn't, no one would like him. Surely he should be actually a pretty great guy, if a bit, you know, hot-headed.
Mm.
But he should be lovely so that you feel betrayed when he turns bad.
You want it that every time he leaves the scene, everyone goes, I really like Anakin Skywalker, more of him, please. Where is Anakin Skywalker?
Maybe we could be talking about, where's Anakin Skywalker? What's he doing right now? Why isn't Anakin here right now?
I mean, the problems the sequel trilogy has, which we covered... Yeah. But I think the one thing they get right is the Kylo Ren character.
Yes.
That's what this Anakin should have been like.
Yes, absolutely.
A better actor.
Yeah, I did later on find myself thinking, I don't think Adam Driver would have let this moment soar past him as an actor in quite the same way.
No, I don't think so.
Just let it slip right through his hands.
So we get another scene of people walking and talking, really spoiling us. Meanwhile, Obi-Wan goes to Kamino, an ocean planet.
Have you seen The West Wing? I thought that was a really exciting show, so I thought we could do the same thing in Attack of the Clones.
To the point, I think it's in the next film where they're walking and talking, and because Yoda's little, they have to put him in a little floating pod.
He's in his little space car chair as well.
So pathetic.
And you have to imagine Frank Oz dressed head to toe in a green body stocking.
Running along.
Punched, running alongside them.
Holding a puppet that they later CG'd out.
That's why Yoda talks like this.
Fucking knackered I am.
Oh, Jesus. Christ, Jesus.
You walk too fast, bastards.
I've only got little legs. Is that you talking, Yoda?
No, it's Frank Oz.
Frank Oz.
I've only got little legs.
I need a wee.
I need a wee.
Yoda or me.
Both. Kamino is run by the kind of aliens you hear about abducting farmers. They've got the big eyes.
Got the big eyes, yeah. They look maybe the best of all of the CGI creatures, I think.
They look the best, but they move like shit.
They do. They move like they're weirdly hovering. And I think that's meant to be on purpose, like they're sort of strange ethereal guys, but it does look bad.
Good voices, though. I think the lady is from that... They were once warriors, which is where Tamua Morrison's from as well.
Oh, really? Oh, interesting. Yeah, cool. Yeah, she's great. She's got a really good presence in the film.
Really good. And the voice of the president is really nice.
Yeah.
Like, sort of velvety.
He's an idiot. I mean, like a lot of people in this film, he's a complete idiot. Obi-Wan, he says, Jedi Master Calvin Sambuca. Calvin Sambuca. Mm. He ordered all these clones off me recently. And then Obi-Wan says, he died 10 years ago. Mm. The Prime Minister says, oh, do you think he'd have liked these clones, though? And you go, no, mate, your entire operation is built on a lie. Like, the billions and billions of credits you've spent developing this clone batch is all based on a complete... Does this not bother you at all? He just goes, no. Well, we should probably ask Cyber Diaz about it. He's like, no, I told you he's dead.
He's dead.
Yes, that's right, you did say that. So, but he placed the order. No, he's dead, mate.
Has he paid for it?
Come on. And then Anakin, Obi-Wan rather, like, slaps around the face and his head immediately pings off because his neck's so long and fragile. Like, oh, God, what have I done?
Well, I looked into Cypher Diaz on Wikipedia.
Yes.
So he's a Jedi Master who died. Apparently he was killed by Private Pike. No, he said he was killed by the Pikes, but I wrote Private Pike.
Private Pike, okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
His spaceship was shot down by a Private Pike.
Don't tell him, Cypher.
And then he says, I'm sure he would be proud of the army we created for him. And then Obi-Wan goes, the army? Dad's army.
Don't panic. Don't panic.
They're all based off of the seamen of Captain Mannering.
I would much prefer that. All these like grumpy Arthur Lowes having their like porridge in the dining hall below.
Stupid boy.
Stupid boy.
Stupid boy.
Brilliant. What a great movie. Yeah. And then that means that Boba Fett canonically is Arthur Lowe.
That's right. Amazing. That's for a film. Boba, you stupid boy.
Boba, you stupid boy.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.